Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being genuinely well-informed. We tackle complex topics, boil down the key sources, and give you those surprising facts and hopefully some real aha moments. Today, we're jumping headfirst into, well, a kind of mathematical chaos. We're exploring an equation that seems to describe some of the wildest, most unpredictable stuff around us, but it's also stumped brilliant minds for decades. Just picture this for a second. A single pretty unassuming mathematical equation, but it holds the secret to understanding how sand dunes get those ripples, you know, or how a forest fire actually spreads across a landscape, or even those weird, intricate patterns a coffee stain leaves behind when it dries. That's not science fiction. It's a real equation called the Cardor-Parisi-Zhang equation, KPZ for short. It suggests there's some hidden order in all that randomness.
It really is quite a remarkable piece of math, yeah. The KPZ equation has this incredible knack for capturing what we call universal fluctuations. These are patterns that just pop up again and again in vastly different systems in nature. Think microscopic particles dancing around, or macroscopic things like crystals growing. But here's the rub. While it's great at describing these things, actually defining it rigorously, mathematically, and solving it, that's been a huge challenge. The basic problem is that it's packed with these inherent mathematical infinities. They just break the usual ways of doing math. You can't just, you know, write it down and solve it like a standard equation.
And that is exactly where our deep dive kicks off today. We're looking at a really groundbreaking paper by Martin Hare called Solving the KPZ Equation. And this isn't just like a small step forward. It feels more like a whole new way of thinking about this fundamental equation. So our mission today: unpack the core problems KPZ throws up, why the older solutions weren't quite enough, and how Hare's really ingenious approach gives us this robust pathwise understanding. It unlocks some really profound microscopic insights into these universal patterns. So yeah, get ready for some serious intellectual fireworks, I think.
Okay, so we've talked about how versatile it is, but maybe we can nail down, what is the KPZ equation really? Can you help us visualize the kinds of things it's modeling beyond just saying surface growth?
Absolutely. Yeah, at its heart, KPZ models how some kind of interface or boundary or surface changes over time. And it's changing because of its own internal dynamics and because of external randomness hitting it. Think of it like a mathematical microscope, maybe. You could be looking at the edge of a spreading forest fire that firefront is your surface. Or the way a crystal gets etched as it grows. Or even, you know, the tiny random wiggles in a biological membrane. It's all about how these boundaries roughen up or smooth out or expand in ways that seem unpredictable. But its importance goes way beyond just surface growth. That's why people call it a universal object in statistical mechanics. It pops up when you study the fluctuations of loads of different strongly interacting models. So, for instance, there's something called the weakly asymmetric simple exclusion process, WASEP. That sounds complicated, but it's basically modeling particles hopping on a line, sort of jostling each other. KPZ describes aspects of that. Or directed polymer models. Think of a long chain molecule trying to find its way through a messy random environment. KPZ universality is just, well, it's everywhere. It links things that seem totally different, from tiny particle behavior to huge complex systems growing.
Okay, let's unpack this. So this equation, covering so much ground, has a few key bits. You've got spatial derivatives, that's about how the surface changes from place to place, right?
Right, the slope, essentially.
Then there's this tricky nonlinear term, a squared spatial derivative. That sounds like it creates some kind of feedback loop, making it hard to handle.
That's the troublemaker, yes. That quadratic term.
It's all being driven by something called space-time white noise. Okay, what exactly is space-time white noise in this context? Is it like TV static, but
right,
everywhere?
Huh. Well, sort of. You can think of space-time white noise as the ultimate mathematical randomness. It's like this totally uncorrelated, unpredictable jiggling or fluctuation happening at every single point in space and every single moment in time, all independently. It's pure, raw chaos driving the system. And the real headache, the mathematical challenge, is when that nonlinear squared term smashes into this incredibly rough, irregular noise.
So when you talk about a mathematical infinity or an infinite constant popping out, for listeners who aren't, you know, deep in this math daily, does that mean the equation just literally, like, you try to calculate something and it just goes poof?
Exactly right. It completely breaks down in a classical sense. You know, imagine trying to measure a coastline perfectly. The closer you look, the more wiggles you see, and the length just keeps going up and up, theoretically, to infinity. The KPZ equation, written naively, does something similar. It just explodes with these infinities. It doesn't make sense as it stands. So to give it meaning, you need this process called renormalization.
Renormalization. Okay, that sounds intense. What's it actually doing? Is it just ignoring the infinity?
Yeah, not ignoring it, no. Renormalization is a very clever way to, let's say, recalibrate how we measure things in the equation. It's like finding a way to carefully subtract one infinite quantity from another related infinite quantity so that you're left with something meaningful and finite. You identify the problematic infinity and sort of absorb it into redefined parameters of the model. It's about redefining the problem slightly so you can see its true finite core. And what's fascinating here is that this inherent blow-up forced mathematicians for decades to find really clever, often quite indirect routes to even define what a solution means. They couldn't just solve it directly.
So for years, mathematicians were basically wrestling with an equation that just refused to play nice on paper, right? Always plagued by these infinities, must have been incredibly frustrating, looking for workarounds. And for a long time, the standard way to think about a solution involved this brilliant trick. The Kolhoff transform. Can you maybe sketch that out for us?
You're right. It was a huge intellectual struggle. And the Kolhoff transform was genuinely ingenious for its time. Imagine you have this hopelessly tangled knot, right? Impossible to deal directly. But then you find this magic spell that transforms the knot into just a simple straight piece of rope. Much easier. You solve your problem for the straight rope, and then using another spell, you transform that simple solution back into the tangled knot's world, revealing its structure. That's basically what Kolhoff did. It was a transformation, a clever workaround that neatly sidestepped the direct difficulties of the nonlinearity and the noise.
Ah, okay. So it turned this monster equation into something tamer, something they actually could solve.
Precisely. It took the highly nonlinear KPZ equation and transformed it into a linear equation, specifically the multiplicative stochastic heat equation. Now, linear equations, even stochastic ones, are much better understood. This related heat equation had a well-defined, unique solution. And the magic part was, if you just took the logarithm of that solution, you got something you could rigorously define as the solution to the original nasty KPZ equation. It was a major breakthrough, really. It gave the first solid mathematical footing for KPZ.
Okay, that does sound clever. But here's where it gets really interesting. Even with that brilliant workaround, the Kolhoff solution wasn't perfect, right? It had some pretty significant drawbacks. It wasn't the final answer.
Definitely not the whole story, no. And its limitations became more and more apparent over time. For one thing, think about approximating the KPZ equation. You need good approximations for computer simulations, for connecting to experiments. Well, with Kolhoff, you couldn't really approximate KPZ directly. You had to first figure out how your approximation method related to the heat equation. Do the approximation there, solve it, then take the logarithm to get back to KPZ. It was just really indirect and often quite inconvenient. It didn't give you what we call a pathwise sense of approximation.
Yeah.
You couldn't easily see how slightly changing the noise path would directly change the KPZ solution path.
Right. So you couldn't just fiddle with the input noise and see the KPZ surface change in response, not in a straightforward way.
Exactly. It felt disconnected. And beyond that, its applicability was, well, quite narrow in some ways. The Kolhoff transform just didn't mesh well with other very natural ways you might want to approximate the equation. For instance, adding something called hyperviscosity, that's like adding a very strong smoothing or dampening term, or doing spatiotemporal mollification of the noise, which basically means smoothing out the random input a bit. These are standard techniques, but Kolhoff made them really hard to apply effectively to KPZ. This also limited our ability to show that KPZ really is the universal limit for a wide class of discrete models. It worked well for things like WASEP, but struggled with others. And maybe most frustratingly, kind of obscured the natural properties you'd expect the KPZ solution to have. It made proving seemingly obvious things incredibly difficult. Like, you'd intuitively think that if you take two KPZ solutions, maybe started slightly differently but driven by the same random noise, their difference should be much smoother, much more regular than the solutions themselves, right? The common noise should sort of cancel out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But proving that using Kolhoff turned into this incredibly convoluted statement about the ratio of two solutions to the heat equation, it just wasn't natural. It made deep analysis way harder than it felt it should be.
Wow. Okay, so it sounds like for decades, mathematicians were kind of tying themselves in conceptual knots just to get a handle on this thing. What a challenge. Now, let's fast forward to Martin Herer's work. His paper introduces a completely new concept of solution. And the powerful thing is it totally bypasses the Kolhoff transform. This feels like a huge leap. We can finally look directly at KPZ itself.
That's a perfect way to put it, yeah. It's like finally being able to study the tangled knot directly without needing the magic straightening spell first. Herer's approach provides a truly pathwise interpretation. Instead of that indirect route through the heat equation, his method lets you define directly how the surface evolves, step by step, for each specific realization, each specific path of the random noise. It gives a much more intuitive, direct feel for the dynamics. And crucially, like you hinted, it comes with a robust approximation theory. This is massive. It means we can now approximate the KPZ equation directly, using all those natural methods like mollifying the noise or adding viscosity, and we know these approximations will actually converge to the true Herrer solution.
That sounds like a game changer, especially for anyone doing numerical work or trying to connect this math to real-world measurements. And I gather a key ingredient here is something called rough path theory. Sounds pretty specialized.
It is quite specialized, yes. Rough path theory is a whole mathematical framework that was developed precisely to handle equations driven by extremely rough, irregular inputs, just like the space-time white noise in KPZ. Think of it like needing special mathematical tools, maybe like a high-tech GPS and suspension system to navigate terrain that's so incredibly bumpy and jagged that traditional calculus, traditional ways of defining integrals just completely break down. It gives you a way to make sense of paths that are far from smooth.
And Herrer's construction wasn't just pulling rough path theory off the shelf, right? It involved building this whole new machinery on top of it. You mentioned things like a wild expansion, binary trees, even Feynman diagrams, which sound like they belong in physics.
That's right. It's a monumental piece of work. The wild expansion is kind of like breaking down the solution into an infinite series of terms, each representing different interactions. But Herrer cleverly truncates this series, stops it after a few key terms. The real genius then lies in developing entirely new techniques to analyze and control the remainder, the PC cutoff, ensuring it behaves properly. And yes, things like Feynman diagrams, borrowed conceptually from quantum physics, are used here purely as mathematical bookkeeping tools. They act like little diagrams or flowcharts to help track all the complicated ways different terms in the expansion interact and correlate with each other. Binary trees help organize these calculations. It's an incredible synthesis of ideas.
Okay, wow. And out of this new, direct, machinery-heavy approach came this absolutely stunning finding. Herrer's work uncovered two more divergent constants, infinite terms, lurking inside the equation that Kohlhoff just hadn't seen. But, and this is the amazing part, they exactly cancel each other out. Wait, hang on. So it's not just a new way to solve it, but this revealed that the internal chaos of KPZ actually has this perfect hidden balance that feels incredibly profound, like finding perfect symmetry inside pure noise.
You've absolutely nailed why this was such a striking discovery.
Mm.
This perfect cancellation, these two logarithmically divergent terms just vanishing against each other, wasn't visible through the lens of Kohlhoff. That indirect method essentially smoothed over or hid these finer details. The fact that these two terms, which individually would cause the equation to blow up, perfectly neutralize each other, points to some deep underlying symmetry or structural property within the KPZ equation itself, a kind of hidden consistency that the older methods just couldn't perceive. It's a beautiful piece of mathematical insight into the fundamental structure of these universal processes.
So what does this all mean for you, listening? Why should you care about a new way to solve KPZ and finding these hidden cancellations? Well, the implications seem pretty huge, giving us this much deeper, almost x-ray view of these universal phenomena shaping our world.
Indeed. The practical consequences, the byproducts, are substantial. First off, this new framework gives us extremely detailed information about what KPZ solutions actually look like at a microscopic level. It provides a full description of the microscopic structure down to a very precise mathematical level of roughness called C12 beta. Now, that's technical, but think of it like getting an ultra-high resolution image. C1 is smooth, C0 can be jagged, C12 beta is very rough, but in a quantifiable way. This allows for incredibly fine-grained analysis of how these surfaces grow or fluctuate, potentially impacting material science or maybe even biology, looking at cell membrane dynamics at tiny scales.
So a much sharper picture than before.
Much sharper. And secondly, the theory gives new sharp regularity results, basically better mathematical bounds on how smooth or rough the solutions are. And crucially, it provides a clean proof for that intuitive idea we discussed earlier. The difference between two KPZ solutions driven by the same noise is significantly more regular, smoother than the solutions themselves. Proving this cleanly was a major hurdle before, but it falls out more naturally from Herrer's framework.
Okay, that makes sense. The shared noise cancels its roughest effects.
Exactly. Thirdly, this new way of thinking has unlocked progress on other tough problems too. It gives, for the first time, a rigorous meaning to something called the Fokker-Planck equation for a particle moving around in a very rough, time-dependent random potential. Handling that time dependence and the roughness was a major sticking point for older methods. So this opens doors for modeling particle diffusion in more realistic, dynamic, messy environments. Think chemical reactions, plasma physics, that sort of thing.
So the techniques are spreading out to other areas.
They are. And one final example. The mathematical properties of Harris solution map, the way it transforms the input noise into the KPZ solution, led to a new periodic modernization result. This applies to the heat equation itself. But when driven by potentials that oscillate incredibly rapidly in space and time, it shows how these rapid deterministic oscillations can average out on larger scales, leading to simpler, effective behavior. So the insights actually bridge the gap between purely random systems and certain highly oscillatory deterministic ones. It shows the broad power of these ideas.
Incredible. So we started today with what looks like a simple equation for sand dunes and fire, but it was hiding these deep mathematical infinities, making it almost impossible to grasp directly for decades. Martin Harrer's work, though, using things like rough path theory, managed to navigate all that complexity. It gives us this robust, much more intuitive, and microscopically detailed way to understand its solutions, completely bypassing the old limitations.
It really is a testament to the power of developing fundamentally new mathematical tools. By daring to look directly at the problem, even though it was incredibly rough, his approach revealed things like those hidden, perfectly canceling infinities. It suggests this deep elegance and order hiding even within seemingly chaotic universal phenomena. Makes you wonder what else we're missing.
Absolutely. And this deep dive leaves you with, I think, a really provocative thought. How many other fundamental equations out there, maybe in physics, maybe biology, maybe economics, are harboring similar hidden complexities, similar elegant cancellations, just waiting for a new kind of mathematical perspective, a new rough path, perhaps, to reveal their true underlying structure? What other universal objects might be hiding profound symmetries, just waiting for us to develop the tools to see them clearly? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you feel a little more well-informed now and definitely a lot more curious about the hidden mathematical order beneath the chaos.